Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, your host. And, you know, folks, if you are looking at this new round of PPP loans and thinking, I need to get in on that or see what's available, or maybe you need some help just generally with your banking that involves like a real person, I've got an answer for you that involves going to renaissancebank.com and finding their local office. And they've got some about 200 across the South open and ready to serve you, and give them a call. What you'll find is you will find a real person answers the phone. And, you know, this bank is big enough to handle most anything you can throw at them, small enough to be personal in the way they do it. And I know this from firsthand experience myself. So if you're looking for that kind of relationship with your bank, go to renaissancebank.com and check them out and set up a visit. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Mike Kipnis. Mike is a senior partner at Mass Mutual, the Piedmont Group. Mike, welcome.
John, good to catch up with you. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year to you and yours. And it's great to have you back on the show, and you're an old friend. And but for those that don't know you, and there's not many, but for those that don't know you, tell them a little bit about you and the Piedmont Group. How are you serving folks out there?
Well, thank you, John. I have been in and around the financial services industry since the mid-80s, and Mass Mutual is a 170-year-old mutual life insurance company based in Springfield, Massachusetts. Our Atlanta location is the Piedmont Group, right at the perimeter off Georgia 400 and 285. We do individual and business risk management and wealth management planning, which could be tailor fit to an individual that might need help with things like life insurance, disability income protection, and retirement planning, or a business or business owner looking at employee benefits, 401k plans, and things like that. I've got a team of about 75 here in Metro Atlanta. And we feel that we can bring a lot of value to folks who need help in the advisory role capacity.
Mike, you've been around a while. Seasoned is what they like to call guys like you and me. But yeah, talk a little bit about, I guess, why you got in this business to begin with and what keeps you going.
Well, I don't want to lie to my audience. I kind of stumbled into the business out of college. Back in the 80s, the job market was not particularly strong. With a finance degree from Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a lot of job opportunities were banks and brokerage firms and insurance companies. So I stumbled into the insurance side of the financial world. I got pretty good at it because I was a student of the game. I got my insurance licenses. I've gotten my securities and investment licenses and a number of professional designations from the American College, chartered life underwriter, chartered financial consultant, chartered special needs consultant, and a chartered advisor of senior living. Why it's been good to me and why I've enjoyed it and still enjoy it as we start a new year is that I really enjoy working with individuals and businesses. I like to provide value, whether it's directly with the financial solutions that my companies provide, or as a center of influence and being able to refer clients to other advisors that they need to be connected with. It could be tax people, it could be legal people, it could be Renaissance Bank, it could be any number of other financial pieces to their puzzle. So that keeps me going. It keeps me excited about doing what I'm doing. And as I've started my fifth decade in this industry, I joke about what I do. It's changed dramatically, but it's still the same. It's about meeting people and bringing value and helping them. And that's what I've enjoyed over these past 37 years.
I'll be glad when I don't have to ask this question anymore, Mike, but I have to ask you and everybody this question, but you know, about the pandemic and how the pandemic has affected you and the way you do your business with your clients.
Well, I'm sure you're tired of asking it, and I'm not tired of answering it, but you know, back in March, I remember my last two live meetings. It was literally St. Patrick's Day. I had a lunch meeting with a client at a restaurant in Alpharetta, and then I had a coffee meeting later that day at another shop in Alpharetta, and little did I know those would be my last two live meetings for quite some time. It impacted me immediately because I'm not one of these high-tech guys. I didn't really know much about Zoom before March 17th. I knew how to do a phone call, with that being counted as a phone appointment. I would say, John, 90% of my client meetings were live, either at my office, my client's office, at a neutral site, Bagel Boys or some sort of coffee shop in Metro Atlanta. And I was not really prepared to change gears and all of a sudden start having meetings by phone or by Zoom. Little by little, I embraced it. I have been somewhat locked out of my physical office, not literally, but the only difference from my physical office at the perimeter and my home office that has been created here in Alpharetta is that, you know, working off of a laptop versus working off of a desktop. Further to that, John, I mean, clients have also had to change the way that they work with people like me. And some don't like the low touch phone meetings. Some don't like the level of discomfort with a Zoom meeting. But I think over the last 9 months or so, I think everyone has somewhat adapted to it. But I'm in the 2021 year, I'm probably 12 Zoom meetings in already, and we're only on the fourth business day of the year. So I hope it's not here to stay. I do think it's created a different way to do business. And I'm glad that I still have these relationships with prospects and clients, and even this call right now. I mean, I used to be in your actual studio the last time we did this, and
that's
instead
right,
we're doing it, you know, over a Zoom call.
That's right.
So I'm not sure if I answered that question, but that's kind of where I've evolved over the last 8 or 9 months, John.
Yeah. Folks, we're here chatting with Mike Kipnis. Mike is a senior partner with the Piedmont Group and Mass Mutual. Mike, let's talk about, given these uncertain times, the financial strategies that business owners, individuals should be looking at, given the times we're sitting in.
Wow, I kind of wish it wasn't Thursday and maybe we're having this call last Thursday. Obviously, in the last 3 days, at least in the state of Georgia and even nationally, there has been yet another disruption to the way we live, the way we work, the way we respond to, events in our lifetime. I mean, roll back the clock to March of last year, John, and I think the pandemic and the deer in the headlights mentality hit everyone. And I dealt with a lot of very successful individuals and businesses that had to reinvent themselves, had to change the way they look at their own financial world. Some people came to a screeching halt. Some people told me that I'm not going to do anything until things get settled. And then we approached, the third quarter, the fourth quarter of the year, and this election, and the deer in the headlights mentality continued. And people would tell me, I got to wait till the election is over. And then obviously the election did not end, quite frankly, the way that most elections end, and it continued to drag on, and people would respond by, let's say, wait till after the holidays or wait till the new year. I guess I'd answer that not directly, but the series of events in the last 9 or 10 months have given clients and business owners a lot of world-class excuses to just sort of freeze in time. And I will just say politely that having no plan is not a plan, or letting the calendar dictate when and if you're going to review your insurance or investment program. So I saw a lot of that, John. I can't say these excuses weren't logical. If a client lost his or her job and didn't have the capacity to look at their financial program, I got it. I understood that it was a challenging time and, you know, let's put things on hold. There has been a lot of disruption in the workplace and a lot of uncertainty as to, you know, whether you're going to have a job next year, which is now this year, and whether you're going to get a year-end bonus or whether or not a company was going to change its benefits plan. So I guess back to the first question and then this question, I've just seen a lot of circumstances where you really can't afford to do nothing. And I'm not saying that Mike Kipnis is the best advisor in Metro Atlanta, but I do think these discussions need to be more top of mind. And 7 days into a new year, if you've got a New Year's resolution to lose weight or go to the gym or get your financial house in order, in whatever order that might be, you know, I would like to be a resource. But again, I saw a lot of clients in the last 8 or 9 months, John, just choose to do nothing. And it may or may not have cost them money on their balance sheet, or they missed out on some opportunities that they could have taken advantage last year. So in general, I'd say if you want to get your, you know, your 2021 off to a good start, you may want to engage with a financial professional and revisit what your next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years of financial goals look like.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up because I think some people get, well, frankly, their politics mixed up with the market and investing, and that's a bad, I don't care what party you're in. And if you want to write me a letter, write me a letter. I don't care. But whatever your party you're in, that's a bad way to handle your portfolio. Now that's John speaking, not Mike speaking, but I'll let you address that.
Well, I'll first of all say I do not have a crystal ball.
Yep.
I don't own one. I don't rent one. I don't lease one. The immediate panic of mid-March drove what we call the equity markets down pretty significantly. Some people 30, 35, 40%. Now, the individuals that cashed out on the way down missed a 7-month rebound that may have been the greatest market movement in their lifetime because of the emotion of fear being a stronger emotion than the emotion of greed. And I don't know if I held enough of my clients' hands during that 30 or 60 day time frame, but I do know now, looking back on 2020, if you had your head in the sand and you didn't know that there was a pandemic that put the world on hold in mid-March, and you woke up from a Twilight Zone episode on January 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, your 401k, your stock portfolio, by just sitting tight, is probably up 17 to 22%. And that's not saying the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones, but if you were able to weather that storm of the emotion of fear from March, April, and May, and woke up January 4th, the first workday of the year, you're probably financially on paper up from where you were pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, if that makes any sense, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's, I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that people, whether it's political or, you know, of world events or whatever, they miss out on these kinds of moves. And that's just 6 months or nine more months closer to retirement, closer to, you know, needing to access those funds that they missed out on.
You're absolutely right. And again, without making any general statements, if you have a trusted advisor, if you have a diversified asset makeup of stocks, bonds, real estate, annuities, cash value insurance, whatever your pie chart looks like, if it's reviewed two or three times a year, and if it's reallocated from time to time, you should be able to survive a lot of market volatility. But if you are a knee-jerk reactor to economic impact or economic events that you really can't control, you will probably participate and lock in some losses with certain panic responses that, quite frankly, most of my clients have survived for 20 plus years. I'm talking about 1987 and the early 90s and 01, 02 with the 9/11 towers coming down, and 08, 09 and 10 with the recession or depression. And now we're looking at 2020. So if you have a balanced portfolio, whether it's done by yourself as a do-it-yourselfer or diversifying your IRA or 401k with multiple different asset classes, most people should survive certain market volatility, which we saw back in March, April, and May.
Now, Mike, another area where folks may let too much time go by before they address it is long-term care planning. Talk about when folks should be addressing that particular issue.
It's a great question, John. I mean, I would say that if you want to look at a demographic, as you approach and enter your 50s, you probably start to think in terms of, have I built enough net worth? Have I built enough retirement buckets? Do I have enough capital that if I want to retire at 60 or 65, do I have enough in my nest egg to not potentially outlive my net worth? And that's a different number for different people, John. And I am not going to use this platform to tell you that if you're worth $2 million, you're self-insured, or $10 million, you're self-insured. I think the question you're really asking that I can honestly answer is, as you approach and enter your 50s and even your 60s, and you're working with someone who's helping you do a projection on how much your IRAs are worth, how much your 401k is worth, how much your pension is worth, how much you should expect from Social Security, will you have enough money to live from 65 to 85 or 65 to 90 without running the risk of moving into your adult children's houses because you ran out of money? And that may sound funny to some people, but there is a lot of studies and a lot of statistics out there. One of them that I see fairly regularly, John, is if a couple makes it to age 65 and they're both in generally good health, there's almost an 80% chance that one of those spouses will make it to age 90. And I don't think any of us thought that you should be able to think in terms of retirement being 25 or more years. I know my parents' generation, my dad retired at 65. He had a pension and he died at 75. And my mom died a few years later. So their retirement income did its job. But if you're going to retire at 65 and potentially live to age 90, you probably need to look at long-term care planning, and that might involve an insurance solution, or that might involve rebalancing your investment portfolio so that you keep a certain amount of your net worth more liquid than you might want to prevent you or your spouse or significant other to outliving assets. And there's a lot of studies out there. If you get to a retirement age and you have $1 million and you take $40,000 a year out of it, which is the 4% distribution rule, without inflation and without taxes, you may have a plan. But what if inflation is higher than 3%? And what if taxes go up over time? That's where you might want to look at, are we properly invested? Do we have enough capital to not have to worry about outliving our assets?
And I guess I need to just let everybody know, full disclosure, I've been a client of your firm's, bought my long-term care planning policy through the Piedmont Group. So let's just put that out there. And it's a Mass Mutual policy. But talk about why the quality of the insurer that's selling that policy is so important in long-term care.
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question, John, but I'll do my best.
Well, I disclosed on the front end, pal. So,
I know.
Yeah.
I will give you the statistics. The first 10 companies in the insurance industry that wrote long-term care insurance in the 80s are all out of the business. What does that mean to you, the consumer? You probably want an insurance company that is AA+ rated by the rating services. That could be AM Best, Fitch, Moody's, Standard & Poor's. So I think there's a value in buying from an insurance company, more than one that you've actually heard of, but one that has the financial stability that they're not going to go out of business or sell their business to another insurance company, because the risk you run, John, or an insurance consumer runs, is what if your pricing goes up 10, 20, 30, 40% because the insurance company that you put your full faith in is not doing very well in managing its premiums received. And the only way that that company can stay in business is to raise premiums on their existing clients. And that's something I really try to prepare my clients, that if you're going to buy any kind of traditional long-term care insurance policy, whether it's from me or another financial advisor, you probably want to look at more than one carrier, and you want to probably check their history of rate increases. Because the last thing I want to do is get you in a policy that makes perfect sense in your 50s, but the premiums have doubled or tripled in your 60s or 70s, John, and now you can't even afford the policy that you thought would make a lot of sense. So I do think the consumer needs to do its due diligence, buy with a reputable company, buy with a company that's been in the field of long-term care planning for more than a year or two, and certainly do your due diligence on the balance sheet. You might want to look at what's the difference between a mutual insurance company and a stock insurance company. And I'll be brutally honest, John, sometimes I talk people out of buying long-term care insurance because it doesn't make sense. It's either going to be too expensive because they're looking at it too late in life, or the risk of the premiums going up are too large. And I just have to say politely, you're going to have to run the risk of being underinsured for longevity risk and hope that you don't outlive your assets, or your adult children are fine with you moving into their basement if you run out of capital.
Folks, we're here chatting with Mike Kipnis. Mike's a senior partner with Mass Mutual and the Piedmont Group. Mike, you know, we've talked about fear and the impact that can have on, you know, all of us are emotional people that are investors. We've talked about, you know, the need to do due diligence and long-term care planning insurers. Those kind of things really require a good financial advisor. And I'm just curious, what you've been around a long time. What should someone look for in to assess the quality of an financial advisor?
Well, John, I think, first and foremost, that the introduction to said advisor should come at a relatively high level. And what that means is that going into what we used to call the yellow pages, which don't exist anymore, or going online, or at 2 o'clock in the morning, Tom Selleck is selling reverse mortgages. And I'm saying that actually, because if you stay up long enough and watch enough cable TV, Henry Winkler and Tom Selleck are up there. You've got to go with an advisor that I think has been recommended to you at a high enough level that I really appreciate you having me on the show. I appreciate you making the statements that you've been a client of mine for a number of years. But you know, I would like to be referred at a high enough level that the referrer has done business with a Mike Kipnis or someone like me and has a rave review for me. So I would say that would be first and foremost. Secondly, you could certainly check the website or the financial soundness of MassMutual, which is a $700 billion mutual life insurance company that's been in business for 170 years. I think that if you're going to write a check to any financial firm, whether it's for insurance or investments, you want to know they've been around a while and they have a good balance sheet. We happen to keep about $16 billion of our assets on reserves in the event people do need to access their capital on short term. So you want a company that's got liquidity. And again, back to the advisor, you know, I've got 4 professional designations after my last name. I've spent, you know, 37 years being educated by the American College in the insurance community. I've got Series 6, 7, 63, 65, and 24 securities licenses. And you probably want to work with an advisor that, you know, hasn't been under scrutiny with the insurance or investment industry, doesn't have any claims against him or her from an advisory role. FINRA and the Life Insurance Marketing and Research Association, LIMRA, you know, they keep tabs on people like us. And if you've got violations and you haven't done a good job with your clients, we live in a very transparent world, so it's pretty easy to figure out whether or not you're working with an advisor that's been doing this a while, represents companies that are AA+ rated in the rating services, and has not had any kind of legal marks going against them. I guess that's probably the best way I could describe it, John.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, as we close here, I want to let's look ahead to 2021, whatever it brings here as we record this show here at the first part of January 2021. I mean, what are the, I guess, the folks that want to fulfill some New Year's resolutions that involve getting their financial house in order? What should they do?
Well, I think in any case, whether it's an individual or a business owner, at a minimum, you should review your insurance and investment program once a year. And I do say at a minimum. And some people say that's too much. Some people say that's not enough. I'll just share with you and your audience, John, that, you know, some people buy life insurance a long, long, long time ago, and they don't realize when the policy is going to run out. They may get divorced. They may be a widow. They may remarry. And things as simple as your beneficiary arrangements haven't really been looked at. You may have been with a company 10 years ago and established a pretty sizable 401k plan and made two or three job changes, John, and don't even remember how those 401k assets are being invested because they're still sitting behind you at a company that has an investment strategy that you haven't reviewed in a while. So there's a lot of things that people may or may not do intentionally that can get them in a position that, you know, 20 years ago, I filled out a risk profile, you know, working for XYZ Corporation, and I never updated it. And little did I know that now I'm in a very aggressive risk profile in my 50s, and I should probably rebalance that. And if you haven't really worked with a direct advisor or you don't review your own statements, whether it's from Fidelity or Vanguard or Oppenheimer or Merrill Lynch, you know, I do think even if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you should review those. And whether it's this month when you have a year-end statement and to see whether or not you are up, down, or flat from last year at this time, that would make sense. If you don't have a dedicated advisor, maybe this is the time to, you know, talk to your tax person and see if he has a recommendation. Talk to a Mike Kipnis or somebody like me. Talk to your estate attorney. You should update your will and your estate plan every 3 to 5 years. So without making completely blanket recommendations, I think you should look at your balance sheet and your financial world at least once a year, whether it's with you and your spouse, you and your business partner, you and your significant other. And you also may want to evaluate as your family has changed, as your kids have gotten older, maybe have a family meeting where you talk to your adult children about what your wishes are in your retirement years. And if you need assisted living or nursing home care, what would you want as your, you know, your direct wishes? I don't want to go into this type of a facility. I would rather work with a facility that could come to my home for a period of time. So it is a great time of year, John, to just kind of look ahead. And especially if you threw the 2020 year out the window and have said for the last 9 months, I'm just not going to deal with it. Certainly, it's a great opportunity to sit down, review your financial house. You may do nothing more than just check the boxes. We're in good shape and everything is moving along according to schedule. It certainly would help you sleep better at night. And I do know from firsthand experience, a lot of spouses don't necessarily have these conversations with their husband or wife or their significant other. And one side of the spousal responsibility is finances. And it's certainly a great time of year to sit down with your business partner, your significant other, your spouse, to make sure you're both on the same page.
Good advice, folks, from Mike Kipnis. And he is with Mass Mutual and the Piedmont Group. Mike, this has been great. For those that would like to be in touch, and maybe get more information and get to know you, tell them how they can do that.
The best way to reach me is my office landline number is 770-551-3450. If I'm not in the office, those voicemails get forwarded directly to my cell phone. I also can be reached on my email. It's mkipniss, M-K-I-P-N-I-S-S, at financialguide.com. Our website is www.thepiedmontgroups.com. And even if it's just a brief introductory email phone call, I'd be more than happy to chat with you. I do not charge fees for my service. And 15 minutes after a phone call, that fit okay with that. But if if you were to reach your 2021 goals, I'd be more than happy to chat with you and work with you. And John, as always, I appreciate your support and partnering with me, and love being on your show, as it's a great medium to communicate with the marketplace. And I appreciate you inviting me on again today.
Oh, it's great to have you. Mike Kipnis, folks, with MassMutual and the Piedmont Group. Mike, thanks again.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got another New Year's resolution that involves maybe getting some administrative help for your business, maybe it's bookkeeping, maybe it's some marketing that you need done, that you're doing and you need to get it off your plate as a business owner, I've got a suggestion, and that involves calling the chief executive angel at Office Angels, S.E. Escobedo. S.E., it's, her number is 770-442-9246. And if you're shy and want to go check out the website, you can do that, officeangels.us. But what happens is Essie and her team work virtually, and she picks the best angel for the needs that you have, and they fly in, get the job done on a as needed or an ongoing basis, and they fly back out, and they do all this virtually. They've been doing it that way for 20 years, so the pandemic does not throw them off, and they're terrific, talented people, and I know that firsthand. So give Essie a call, 770-442-9246, and you'll be glad you did. Your business will thrive as a result. Also, folks, if you we would love it if you would go subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and we're on all of them. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term, but go subscribe to the show. And better yet, give us a 5-star review, because it helps folks find the show. And it's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about our guest and folks that are interested in the services of business leaders like Mike and the other almost 600 guests we've had over these last almost 5 years of doing this show. So we would love it if you would help us out that way, and also connect with us on social media. North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Mike Kipnis, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.